Well, I'm not going to sing, so the musicians can be seated. No, I'm not going to sing. Well, praise the Lord! It's the afternoon service and y'all look sleepy.
Tell them to wake up then.
I turned around and I looked, I just peeked to see how everybody was doing. Because I yawned. I got to preach and I yawned and then I looked over at a couple other people, I won't mention their names, and they were yawning, and I turned around, I looked, and didn't see any eyes shut, but seen a couple more yawns, and so, I won't be too long, amen. That was a good message this morning. It wasn't a shout and hollering message, but there was a lot of meat in that message. I don't think it'd be possible to retain all of it, but if you got some of it, you'd be doing all right. Amen. If you'd like, we can get right into the Word of God. You can turn to Genesis chapter 24, verse 23. Amen. We need more of God. More of God. Praise the Lord. Preach this one other time. Not the exact way. I'm going a totally opposite way. We're going to use the same scriptures here. Genesis chapter 24 and verse number 23. We'll be reading one verse here. And said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we call upon You today, God. We're waiting upon You, God, that You would speak to Your children today. God, that You would quicken them by the Spirit and by the power of God Almighty. That You would quicken them. You'd move upon somebody. Encourage somebody in this house today. God, encourage somebody. Speak to somebody. Oh, the divine words of God. God, let Your servants speak the very oracles of God. In the name of Jesus, we praise Your name. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to speak on the topic today. Is there room in Father's house? Is there room in Father's house? And actually, I preached this Father's Day. And the whole purpose of the message was to root out the heart of a father. To find the heart of a father. Just the heart of our earthly fathers. But you know, the heart of our earthly father should be the same as the heart of our heavenly father. It should be. We love our children. And one thing we understand about fathers is fathers love their children. They love their children. In the same way God loves us, His children. Amen. It's too far up there. I got to be down here. Too far away. Too far away. Amen. Well, I need my notes. We'll get her going here in a little bit. But there's comfort when you're behind the pulpit. If you ever want to, I can say from experience, if you ever want to see if a preacher's comfortable, if he's not comfortable, he'll be behind the pulpit. But when he starts getting out and moving around a little bit, like Brother Predick did last night, and starts going around the church, he's getting a little more comfortable. He's getting a little more comfortable. And the first night he spent a lot of time up there, but last night, he was going around the church when he was preaching. He became comfortable. Amen. But is there room in Father's house is what we're going to be talking about today. Is there room in Father's house? And one of the things that when you go to a father's house, like for instance me, I left my father's house. I went off to Bible school. And the Lord's helping me down there. I'm surviving. No, I'm really doing good down there. It's a great place. And I'm not just saying that because the president of the Bible school is sitting right over there. I'm not just saying that. But it's a good place. But as I spent time away from father's house, and I was away from father's house for a long period of time, and I come back, one thing that is on many of the father's house is a welcome sign. A welcome sign right across Father's house. Welcome. It says welcome. You're welcome in Father's house. And it's never really been on our door, but I remember my grandpa's door. Whenever I go down to my grandpa's house, there's a big sign that says welcome. And you know what? He really means that. Well, when my grandpa puts that up, he doesn't mean to put that up to say, well, I don't really want you there, but I'm just going to put it up. No, welcome. The very greeting of welcome means when somebody's invited into your house, you're welcome. You want them to come in. You want them to sit down. You're going to love them. You're going to talk to them. You know, my grandpa, he loves his children. And they're all gone now, but whenever they come back, he loves them. He wants them to come back and visit him, and they're welcome. But not only that, I mean, he's a pastor. His home's open. You're welcome. Come into the house. And you know, as for me, when I was away, you know, when I come back, I walked in the door, and they had a big welcome thing hanging up there. It's like I was gone for so long, but I knew when I come back, I was welcome home. You know, is there room in Father's house? Welcome. You know, tying this in spiritually, I was coming down the road here, and as I was coming in, I drove and drove and drove and drove about an hour through all the hills and the woods, and I got here. Well, actually, I got down the road a ways, and I was like, man, I'm excited. I'm going to be at camp. But there's something about it. When I come around that corner, and I turn the corner over there, and you come from that way, and from a distance, you can see the top of the steeple. And as I seen the top of the steeple, it was almost like a welcome. You know what? Welcome. You're at camp. Welcome. God's here. You're at camp. And you know what? This place means something special for me. This place means something special for me. Because this is where God changed my life. You know, I can remember when I was 12 years old, right there. I don't know who preached. I don't know what happened. But I remember it was right here. God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And then I remember I was right over there, and I was crying out to God one night, and nobody was around me, and the preacher was standing up there doing the altar call and calling out to God, and he says, he was speaking to young people, and he said, some of you are going to be missionaries. Some of you are going to be evangelists. Some of you this, that. And he was just going this way and that way, and he wasn't pointing any direction. And then he goes, some of you are going to be preachers. And he pointed right at me. And I knew right then, oh man, you talk about a feeling. Because I mean, no other inkling before had ever come upon me. But he pointed right at me. Some of you are going to be preachers. My heart sunk. I looked around. I was hoping, sir, my friend Jonathan was standing right here next to me. Because if you want to be real about things, Jonathan seems to be more of a people person, a preacher than me. I looked around and Jonathan wasn't there. Yeah. Jonathan wasn't there. It was me. God spoke to me. He said, you're going to be a preacher. But you know what? Something spoke to me when I was coming. And I was driving in here. And I seen that steeple. I go, welcome. Welcome. You know what? Welcome. This is Father's house. This is Father's house. You know what? This is where deliverance happens. This is where healing happens. This is where people just like me got filled with the Holy Ghost right here. And then there was another time when in youth camp, and I was struggling back and forth, pulling from the world and pulling back to church and this way and that way. And I remember in youth camp when I come and I laid right here. And I looked up at the ceiling. I don't know what was significant about it, but I got a spot on the ceiling. I looked there and I said, you know what? This is the moment. And I picked that spot. I don't know what it meant, but I said, God, from here on out, I am going to live for you. I got to live for you. It happened right here. You know what? This is Father's house. This is the house of God. This is Father's house. This is where deliverance happens. This is where healing happens. This is where the sick are healed. You know, you're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome here. This is Father's house. Just as people were, my parents, and just as everybody is welcome to their house, everybody's welcome to my grandpa's house, everybody is welcome to this house. You know, I don't really care if you're sick. I don't care if you're lame. I don't care if you're blind. I don't care if you've got an incurable disease. I don't care if you've got cancer. I don't care what you got. You're welcome in this house. You know, I don't even care if you're a drunkard. I don't care. I don't care if you're a liar, a cheater, a stealer. I really don't care. You're welcome in this house. You are welcome in Father's house. Father's house, His arms open wide. And Father wants you to come. Father's beckoning you, come. Come. This is Father's house. I want you here in Father's house. You're welcome. Now, as I was driving down the road, I seen that steeple. I said, you know, I'm welcome. I'm welcome. This is the very place that changed my life. Yeah, I don't know where I'd be without this place. I know I got my home church, but this was the place. I remember youth camps crying at the altar, crying out to God. You know, this place changes. It changes people. It changed me. Why? Because God is in this place. This is Father's house. This is the place where people's lives get changed by the power of God. This is Father's house. And all are welcome in Father's house. Welcome. This is Father's house. Your life will be changed forever. This is Father's house. You know, that's what bothers me nowadays when I go out into the world and you see different churches and I've never been in too many of them, but you just see the people that walk out of them. No doubt that they're walking in them churches and they're sitting down on them pews and it's supposed to be Father's house, but they walk in all gloom and groom and they're living in sin, they're living in that, and they walk out the exact same way. But this is a different house. This is the very house of God. This is Father's house. This is the house where people's lives get changed by the power of God. This is Father's house, and you're welcome in Father's house. I'll just throw this out there. If you're tired of living the way you're living, if you're tired of living in misery, and the sinful life's misery, I know it. I didn't live in it for long, but I know it. If you're tired of it, welcome. This is Father's house. God wants to change your life today. God wants to change your life today. He wants to give you a freedom, a joy unspeakable that is full of glory. And you know, it's not going to come holding on to the things you got a hold of. You're going to have to let go of some things. You might have to let go of smoking, drinking, I don't know, whatever it is. You might have to let go of it. But this is Father's house. And your life will be changed here. If you let it. If you let it. If you let it. You know, I've seen people walk in this place hard-hearted, and the preacher preaches a message on salvation, the Spirit of God moving. People come to the altar, cry, weep, get saved, and the power of God has so filled the place, and they sit back there with the same hard face, and they walk out the same hard face. Even though this is Father's house, even though you are welcome in Father's house, if you don't open yourself up, nothing will happen. If you'd like to, we're going to take our main text from Luke 15, starting in verse 11. Yeah, this is simple. This is preached by almost everybody, but it's powerful. So we're going to preach it. Chapter 15, starting in verse 11. And we're going to read down through verse 24. We're going to read it. Try not to be too long here. Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11. And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substances with riotous living, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of thy father have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more am worthy to be called that son.'" How many of us feel that way? Let's keep reading two more. "But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring thither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." That's the prodigal son. We heard it preached and preached and preached and preached, and preachers love preaching when they're reaching for lost. They love preaching on the prodigal son. And I don't see why they shouldn't. But there's one principle that I want you to get here. You can take this as a father, but we're going to take it a little different. There's a principle here that the fathers need to get, and the children need to understand. The children need to understand this principle. We need to understand the simple principle that I'm about to tell you. If you don't get anything, get this. Get this simple principle. It's not a big principle, just a real simple principle. That father loved that child. That father loved that child. With everything in that father loved that child. He loved him. He loved him just as our Heavenly Father loves us. Loves you. Loved you when you were yet a sinner. Loved you when you were lost and undone. You were hopeless. You know what I see from verse 11 through 14? We see a young boy grow up and he says, I want to take everything. And he goes and he runs out and he spends it here and he spends it there and he wastes it away and he goes off. But you know what I get from that portion of Scripture? This is what I get from that portion of Scripture. That father loved that son. You know what? Despite of that son's drunkenness, that father still loved him. Despite of that son's immorality, that father still loved him. Despite of his riotous living, that father still loved him. Despite of his sinful life, that father still loved him. Despite of the very fact that he spent everything the father had, he still loved him. You know what? The father couldn't have fellowship with him because he was away worshiping idols. And off in the swine. But you know what? That father still loved him. That father's at home and said, I love you, son. I love you. I want you back. I want you back. And we got to understand that the father still loved that child. The father loved that child. You know, that's how some parents in here probably feel tonight. I didn't plan on going this way, but you got lost loved ones. You got lost children that you love. You love them. And if you're a father, you can greater identify with this. You love them, children, with everything in you. Just as that father in this, he loved his child. His child was wandering away and he loved him. He seen all the sinful stuff he was doing. No, he didn't like it, but he still loved that child. And our Heavenly Father still loves us. Still loves us. Verses 15 through 16. He reaches the bottom. He reaches the bottom. He's living with pigs. He's eating and he's down in the dumps. He's down in the very bottom. It doesn't seem like he can get much farther down. You know what? His father still loved him. His father still loved him. No matter how far he went astray, his father still loved him. You know, and then verse 20 through 24, we see the reaction of the father. And you can tell by the reaction of the father when he saw his son coming down the road and he ran out to meet him that this day was long awaited. This day was long awaited. This day wasn't just something that just happened and the father said, oh look, there's my son. He ran out to meet him. No, I believe the father was crying and praying and just bawling out for his son to return. You can tell by the very reaction of the father that this day was long awaited. You can imagine that he would start crying when he began to pray. And even before the son come back, and he'd been to cry and pray, and he knew the sinful state of his son. And he'd cry and he'd bawl and he'd weep and he'd say, my son, why won't you return? Why won't you return? And you know, Heavenly Father's up in heaven and he's doing the very same thing with some of you. Maybe I hope everybody in here is saved, but probably not. I'd like to go a little bit different direction here. Just feel God led me. You know, we live into a generation where I live in a generation. This is what's been on my heart. I've preached, I don't know how many messages lately, and they've all been about the same thing. But I live in a generation. My generation. My generation doesn't know God. I wrote this poem a while back, read it to some people. I'll read it to you tonight. The poem was entitled, Where's the God of My Fathers? I was fasting all day one afternoon and just crying out to God and seeking God, and I began to read Aunt Lois's newsletters. And man, that touched my heart. And I started reading them newsletters, and there's a section that she put in there. And she put that section in there entitled The Yesteryears. And so as I began to read that, it told about the moves of God, and some of the things were funny, and some of the things were powerful, where God would come down and He'd heal somebody, and He'd save somebody, and just different things. And as I began to read about the yesteryears, I began to cry out to God, and my cry was, my generation does not know that power. Yes, maybe a few select in here know of that power, but the generation I live in does not know that power. So many are like the prodigal son. Many aren't even like the prodigal son. Many haven't even been in. They don't know. They don't know. They don't know what we got. And I wrote this poem called The God of My Fathers. Where's the God of my fathers? He's hardly found in my generation. Where's the revival of my fathers? We have no true revival in my generation. Where's the respect of my fathers? It's not found in my generation. Where's the lingering attitude of my fathers? 2 hours is a long service in my generation. Where's the simple life of my fathers? Fast-paced is my generation. Where's the holiness of my father? What's holiness is my generation? The generation I live in does not know the God of my fathers. They don't know that experience. They don't know about the power of God coming down and working on their life and changing them. They don't think they can be changed. They're living sinful. They're in drugs. They're in addictions. They're bound by things, and they're reaching out. They're growing, going from alcohol to drugs to the Mormons to other churches that are dead, and they're searching for life, but they can't find it. It's here. It's in Father's house. They don't know that. They don't know that. They don't know it's in Father's house. Unless you tell them. Unless you tell them. They don't know it's in Father's house unless you tell them. I got to read this. I was preaching at a church somewhere out across the America, somewhere in America. God laid something on my heart, and I preached in that church that night, and then they left me a car. So I got in the car and I drove around, and as I drove around, God spoke to me and He laid some things on my heart, and I wrote it, and I left it for the future pastor of that church. And I'd just like to read it to you tonight because it stirred my heart. Really stirred my heart. Reads, I preached to a small church today. There was under 10 people in the service tonight. The Spirit was sweet. God truly met us. The people of this church knew God and lived lives to honor God. Such a sweet presence was radiating from their faces. It was early after service, so I went outside. It was a beautiful spring evening. The air felt perfect, so I decided to take a drive to view this town. I didn't know. It was told me there was about 30,000 in this town, and it was next to a town that was much bigger with hundreds of thousands of people. A person at church had also told me it was prom night for the local high school. This left me with memories of prom night in my hometown. This is when my outlook on this town changed. As I drove around, I looked on faces and I saw sin-stained lives. Lives only being lived for pleasure, only to fill the wants and desires of their lust. It was prom night. Alcohol and drugs would be brought now. Sex and immorality would be done by almost everyone. And all this is viewed as the thing to do. It's fun. The devil looks on with joy as he sees the lives being ruined by sin. And God looks on and cries when He sees the lives corrupted with sin. The pleasure of sin is set in, and almost everyone will have fun tonight. But morning soon comes, and the night will not last forever. The morning comes and a girl lies naked on the floor crying for her mother. A boy is left lying in his own vomit in the middle of the woods with all of his friends gone. He wakes up and cries, to whom he does not know. For this boy does not know anyone who loves him. If only he knew God did. He doesn't, though. Although another boy is lying in the hospital, he has just died from a drug overdose. A white linen covers his body, but not his soul. His soul ain't there. It's in eternity with the devil. If only he knew what a night of fun would do. I am now sitting back in church, a haven of rest, a peaceful atmosphere, a place to escape the sin of the world. My heart is ripped from me. My heart is ripped from me. And I know lives that will be ruined tonight. If only they knew the devil doesn't play games. He comes to seek, kill, and destroy. Every one of them will regret their decisions when they grow up, if they grow up. But growing up is not in their minds tonight. All they can see is fun. We as Christians sit in our haven of rest while the world is tormented by sin and soon destruction. One lady says, "Wasn't it so peaceful tonight at church?" And it was. But it wasn't peaceful for that girl lying on the floor naked because she lost her virginity. We as Christians know peace while the world knows misery. As I drove around tonight, I gave my generation. As I drove around tonight, I saw my generation, and none of them knew God. They did not know of His love, His peace, His mercy, or His joy. All they knew was misery, going from sinful night to sinful night, searching for something to bring them joy and happiness. They will never find it, though. This is my generation. As it cries out for help, won't you help them find the Lord? Listen closely. You can hear their cry tonight. Not only from their mouth, but from their soul. Can you hear the girl crying who has just lost her virginity? Can you hear the boy crying who was left with no one to love him? Can you hear the other boy crying as he breathes his last breath? He doesn't know the Lord. These and many like them are crying. Can you hear them? Can you reach them? Will you reach them? They're crying for you to bring them peace. Although you cannot bring them peace, you can point them to the one that can bring them peace. The only question is, will you? I don't know if I'll get back to my message, but that's what's on my heart. I preach, I don't know how many times lately, and all I preach about is youth. Youth, my generation. I live in a generation that does not know God. They don't know God. This campground won't be here when I grow up. If we don't get a hold of the youth, if we don't start falling on our knees and crying out to God for a stirring amongst the youth, yes, I believe God wants to stir. Yes, I believe He's going to stir. But it's going to take some saints getting on their face and crying out to God and saying, "God, I don't care. God, I don't care. Whatever it's going to take, I got to reach Him. I got to reach Him." You know, the prodigal son. You can tell by the reaction of the father when his son returned that this day was long awaited. This day was long awaited. As I said before in verse 20 through 24, let's read that. Verse 20. "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." You can tell by the reaction of the father right there that the father loved that son. And the father had spent days, months crying, weeping, crying out to God, saying, "God, God, God, my son, bring him home, bring him home." And he often had visions of his son coming down the street and he'd run out to his son and meet him. And then he'd wake up, he'd come out of the vision only to realize it was a vision, but he held on to the hope. He'd cry out, "God, bring him back. God, bring him back. God, bring our youth back. God, get a hold of our youth. That's what we need to be doing. That's what we need to be doing." was long awaited. It was long awaited. Is it long awaited? Or will we be shocked if the youth have a revival? Will we be shocked if my generation has it? Is it long awaited? Are we crying out to God for my generation? You know, something happened a while back. I got back to my home church and it was on fire. And I spent all day praying one Sunday. I had to preach Sunday night. After the service let out, and brought me back, and I prayed. I was crying out. Eric was there too, and he was upstairs. And I went down and got in the youth group, my youth classroom, where I grew up, where I learned about God, and my Uncle Dave taught me there, and I got founded in God, and I was there crying out to God, looking for something to preach, and I got up there, and I stood at the podium, and I looked out, just like I'm looking out here, and you know what I saw? I saw a bunch of empty seats. That's what I saw. You know what's happening in our youth camp? When I was here, I'm not bashing. I mean, God works at youth camp, and He worked last year. He really helped some people last year, but the numbers are going down. The numbers are going down. I'm just giving you my heart. I mean, I can't get it off my mind. My generation. This is my generation. And they're crying out to you. I don't know what you can do, but I'm begging you, please do something. If you can't reach them, fall on your knees. Cry out to God. Is there room in Father's house? Is there room in this tabernacle? Is there room in your church? There'll always be room. Give me the worst sinner in Cain. I want him. I want the worst sinner in Cain. I want that one. I want him. I want him. I want him. Just asking you to get a burden. And the only way you get a burden is if you fall on your face. Not for a day. Not for 3 days. For weeks. For months. You know, what I learned about is when somebody reaches the bottom, they're a lot easier. Their heart's broken. You say, Brother Kyle, it's impossible for God to save the youth. They're so hard-hearted. I don't believe that. Listen to me. Listen to me here. When somebody reaches the bottom, their heart's broken. And God can deal with them. You know, my generation, I'd say 90% of them have reached the bottom. And they're searching. They're searching for you. Not you, they're searching for Christ. But the problem is that, here's the problem. If you go up to some boy and you ask him, do you want Jesus Christ? You know what he's going to tell you? He's going to tell you, no, I don't want him. I don't want Jesus Christ. You want to know why? Because he's been filled with hogwash from the Mormons, from the Jehovah's Witnesses, from all these false doctrines, and they're offering them peace. And when the young people take them, they get a hold of it, just in a little bit, they figure out it's not real. So when you ask them if they want Jesus Christ, they say, no, I don't want him. But you know what they want? They want what Jesus Christ can bring them. They just don't realize it's Jesus Christ that brings it. They don't know how. And they're crying out to you and they're saying, bring me to Jesus. Oh, show me that love. Show me that peace. Show me that righteous way of living. You know, I'm going to quit because I don't want to preach too long. But I'd like for us to come around the altar just a little bit here. You know, God's been dealing with some of you right now. God's been dealing with some of you right now. He's been speaking to you. How much have you prayed for the youth of your church? How much have you got out there and talked to him. You know, here's our typical way of living nowadays. And I don't mean to go much longer. Here's our typical way of living. We're going around in our fast-paced day, and we're going full speed ahead, and we're walking right by the drug addict right there. We're walking right by the other teenager that's searching for something, and we're on one-track mind because we're in a society that's so fast-paced. We're walking right by my dying generation. I'm just asking you to get a burden. I want you to come up here and pray, and I want you to cry out to God. Not just today. Not just today. You know what? I'll tell you this and you can come up. I was standing there in that classroom, and I was praying and preparing for the sermon, and I seen that empty classroom in front of me. The one where some of my friends used to sit, that aren't in school, that aren't in serving God anymore, and I began to cry and weep. And God was showing me some things, and I stood there a little while longer, and I prayed, and I sought God in that classroom, and I cried out for my lost loved ones, for my lost friends, and then I looked up, and the class was full. The class was full. That's the power of God. All things are possible through Jesus Christ, which strengtheneth us. God intends to fill our youth groups. But you notice, I didn't see that until I fell on my face. I got a hold of God. How many visions have we had lately? Let's come up and pray. Let's come up and pray. Just call out to God. Come on. Oh God, help us, Lord Jesus, help us, God. Help us, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, we're crying out. Lord, we're crying out. God, for You to reach our generation. For You to reach my generation, the youth, God. God, something's got to be done. God, they're living in hopelessness. God, they're living in utter hopelessness, and something's got to be done. God, and we're crying out. God, we're crying out for You to do something, for You to shake them, for You to wake them up. God, wake them up. God, wake them up. God, You got to wake them up. God, wake up my generation. God, reach them. God, quicken them. God, stir them. God, stir the people in this church. God, stir them. God, give them a hunger, a desire to pray, a burden so great, God. A burden for my generation. A burden for the lost. Oh, a burden. A burden. A burden that burns so deep within them, it grips their very heart. Oh, it causes them to cry out. To cry out. For my generation. God, God, God. God, help. God, give them a burden. God, give them a burden. God, give us a burden. God, give us a burden. God, give us a burden. God, we want to do something. God, we want to reach them. God, we want to reach them. Oh, there's a room. There's a room in Your house. God, there will always be room in Father's house. Oh, God. God, we're praying for a revival amongst the youth. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. God, stir us. Stir their hearts. God, stir our hearts. God, stir us. God, not just something that stirs us now, but something that remains in us. God, a fire within us. God, that causes us to weep and mourn for nights and days. God, to see revival amongst the youth. To see revival amongst the youth. Oh, God, stir us. God, stir us. God, call some youth to the ministry. Right now, God, call them. God, speak to them. Speak to them. Speak to them, for they can reach the youth better. The youth can reach the youth better than the adults can reach the youth. God, speak to some youth right now. God, lay it upon their hearts. God, to join the ministry, some area of the ministry, whatever it may be. God, speak to their hearts right now. Oh God, I believe that God's calling some youth here tonight. I believe God's calling some youth. He's laying things on their heart. He's saying, I want to use you. I want to use you.
I want to use you. Will you reach them? They're screaming out your name. Will you reach them? Hallelujah, God. Will you reach them?
I'm so tired of being stirred about the lost who need to hear and the ones who never heard God's word.
Father's heart. Sad thing, a lot of them never return to Father's house. If we don't stand there and we don't have Father's heart and reach out to them as He preached today, they're going to be lost forever. Lost forever. I can just think within the last 2 weeks in the Keene area of three young ones in their 20s, early 20s. One young lady, 21 years old, a mother of two children, good girl. Pretty nice girl. Lived a pretty clean life. Got messed up with some drug addict. Checked up with them. Got an overdose of drugs. About a week ago. Slipped out into eternity. Some of my own children knew her. How many other believers knew her? Did we reach out? It's too late now. Reality is she's in hell tonight. She's in hell today. Oh, that those things would stir us. Driving down my road, a young man that I went to school with, and went to church with, went to camps with, praise God with him, sat in some of those classrooms Kyle was talking about together with. Walking down the road of where my home sits, and he just seemed so lost. And I really didn't know what was going on, and he was walking really slow. He's my age. Come to find out, a few days earlier, his son went off the highway and wrecked his vehicle and was killed. Snatched out into eternity, I believe, at the age of 23 years old. Gone. A lifetime that the preacher preached about the other night. Gone. But the duty of the church is to reach them. The duty of the church is to have a Father's house, have Father's heart. But have we failed? Have we failed? Most likely, he didn't make heaven his home. And another one just on a highway, going at a fast rate of speed, went off the highway, wrapped his truck around the tree, went out into eternity. Just within a matter of a couple of weeks. Oh, do we care? Let's get Father's heart. Let's get Father's heart. Hallelujah. Whether we're in this generation or we're from the older generation, let's have Father's heart and reach to them before it's too late. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just take this message with us. Let's have Father's heart. Don't let another one be chalked up. Another life slip away. Well, that's just another one. But let us be concerned. We can reach them with the gospel. We can reach them. You have something they need. You have something they need. Let's reach them. Let's have Father's heart. Let's reach them. When Father saw the Son coming home, the Bible says He ran out to meet Him. Ran out to meet Him. He reached out to Him. Are you reaching out? I don't see anybody to reach out. Then open your eyes. There's someone you can reach to with Father's love. Hallelujah. 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 In closing, Sister Bonnie's going to sing the chorus a couple of more times. And then you can feel dismissed. And if you still are praying around the altar, stay here until you've met God the way that you desire. And God's met you. But let's take this message with us. Speak Your word, Lord. I'm listening. I hear. I hear. Speak Your word, Lord.
Lord, my ears long to hear You. Speak Your word, Lord. My heart aches to know. Speak Your word, Lord. I'll do what You would have me to do. Just speak Your word.
Just speak Your word, Lord.
feel.